Hello, good evening, and welcome to our Sabbath evening broadcast from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown. Lovely to have you tuning in. I trust that the Lord will bless this evening broadcast to you and for you. We're going to commence, as we always do, by listening to a hymn. I know that you would be welcome to sing along at home. It's a great old gospel hymn, 215 in the hymn book. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. That's the 215, the hymn number 215, and we'll listen to this hymn, but do feel free to sing along at home. Unite our hearts together in a word of prayer and seek the Lord for his blessing this evening and that the Lord will meet all of our needs. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for that place called Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for the place where the Son of God laid down his life as a sacrifice for sin. We thank you for the place where he shed his blood for the atonement of our sins and the redemption of our souls. And we thank you, Lord, for the agonies that he bore. And we thank you for what he suffered. Because we know, Lord, that he suffered in our place. The wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid. And we thank you that he drank of that bitter cup And we thank you, Lord, that he drank it dry. There's not one stroke or drop of judgment for me, because Jesus Christ endured it at Calvary. And Lord, we pray that the message and the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross will ever be the central theme of the ministry of this church and from this pulpit. We pray that this will be a place known as Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. And as we considered this morning from that wonderful prophecy of Ezekiel, that when the Lord is there, the people worship. And the worship is centered upon the sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that we gather not around an altar of stone with a lamb or a bullock or a pigeon or turtle dove. For we can sing with the hymn writer, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But we thank you that Christ, the heavenly lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. We thank you that our altar is Calvary, that the sacrifice we look to is Christ. And we praise thee that it, that one sacrifice, it is sufficient to remove our sins, to reconcile us to God, for us to be received in peace unto him. And Lord, tonight we pray again in this gospel broadcast and service that thou will be pleased, that Christ will have all the preeminence, and that his gospel will be faithfully proclaimed, and that those who are listening on will be benefited and blessed from the ministry. We do pray for our brother Peter as he ministers in song. We ask that as he sings, our hearts will be blessed. And Lord, we pray that then as we come to the ministry of thy word, that the Holy Ghost will be given, liberty will be experienced, and the preaching of the gospel will go forth in mighty power. Lord, do bless the Church of Jesus Christ at this time. Bless every true child of God who is washed in the blood and born of the Spirit. Revive their souls and draw them near to God. We pray for the witness of the Church, that though, Lord, it has been badly curtailed and affected in this past year, yet, Lord, we have confidence in thee that, like Paul, we can say the things that have happened unto us have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. And we ask, Lord, that the things that have taken place in the past year would yet be to the furtherance of the gospel, that thou wilt build thy church. We ask, Lord, that the streams of living water will flow from this place through Portadown, and that many precious souls will yet be brought into the kingdom of God, and seasons of refreshing will be experienced by the Church of Christ. Forgive us our sins, draw us near to thee, make us to be faithful in a personal way to thee, and also make us a faithful and blessed witness. And we ask now, O God, that thou wilt continue with us, especially remembering the sick, the bereaved, and the afflicted. Remember those, Lord, who are lonely with the isolation of this time. We pray that soon this virus will abate from the land. And, O God, that we will once again be able to enjoy our liberties and our freedoms to mingle and mix without fear. And, O God, we pray that thy hand will be upon us for good. We ask thee, Lord, that as churches consider a gradual reopening in the coming weeks, that, Lord, Thou will be pleased to give wisdom and help, and, O God, that Thy hand will be upon us. We pray again for those that are sick and those afflicted by the virus, that, Lord, Thou will grant them grace and mercy. We ask this now in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are glad tonight to have with us our good friend and brother in the Lord, Mr. Peter Mander, no stranger to us here in Bethany. Yeah, and at this point in the service, he's going to sing his first piece for us. Thank you, Peter.
Well, thank you very much, Reverend Abernathy. It's lovely to be with you, even though we're in a building and on broadcast. But it's a joy to be able to share in your gospel evening service. Something over these last few weeks and months I've been really thinking about is how much so many are hurting. Christians are hurting, either through isolation or through bereavement, maybe not being able to be with someone on their deathbed, or maybe the businessmen that are struggling or employees that are struggling. This song, "Tears Are a Language God Understands." It is good to share a tear. It's good to bring your burdens to Christ. He sticks closer than my brother.
Often you wonder why tears come to your eyes and burdens seem to be much more than you can stand. But God is standing near. He sees your falling tears. Tears are a language God understands. God sees the tears of a broken hearted soul. He sees your tears and hears them when they fall. God weeps along with man, and He takes God understands.
We do thank Peter for bringing us that gospel hymn, and certainly tears are a language God understands. He sees our tears. He stores them up in a bottle. We're told that in the book of Psalms. But praise God, one day the Lord is going to wipe all our tears away. And we look forward to that day when there will be no more tears. Now, our Bible reading this evening is taken from the first book of Samuel and the 25th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 25. It's a lengthy chapter, 44 verses, relating to one particular incident in the life of David before he came to the throne. We want to break into the reading tonight. We're going to read from verse 13, and we're going to read to verse 35. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 25, reading from verse 13 to the verse 35. And David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them." That is, their master Nabal railed on David's men. "And the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass, and that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David. If I leave off all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall." And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine hand, may I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offence of heart unto my Lord, neither that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, and remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. Blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received her hand, and that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. Amen. We'll end our reading at the 35th verse of the chapter, trusting the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Tonight, we bid you a warm welcome again as you're tuning in to our evening service. Perhaps it's via sermon audio or Facebook, but we do welcome you in the Saviour's name and trust that this broadcast from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church will be a blessing to you. And now, the next meeting will be on Wednesday night. It's another broadcast, of course, the Bible study and call to prayer via Facebook at 8 p.m. And we'll be looking at another one of the birds in the Bible. We've just been going here, there and yonder in the scriptures, looking at some of the birds in the Bible and looking at the spiritual lessons from them. We'll be returning to that on Wednesday night. Then on Friday night, there's the online children's meeting. We thank Philip for producing the children's meeting last Friday night. And Philip will be doing the next number of weeks for the boys and girls. We appreciate his help. Do also remember for the children, there is FPC Kids on a Sunday morning. And I think there may be one the Friday night as well. But tune in to Bethany on a Friday night. And remember FPC Kids on Sunday morning. The ministry for the boys and girls. Friday night at 8 p.m, the youth fellowship will be having their fellowship time and meeting via Zoom. And Saturday night, the Reach will also do likewise at 7:30. And on Saturday night, Mr. Chris Killam will be testifying through that Zoom meeting for the Reach. Next Lord's Day, 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. the online ministry continues the 28th of February. 11:30 a.m., 7 p.m. via sermon audio and Facebook. Can I just mention, I had mentioned to announce this morning, we're in, I think, our seventh or eighth week of this, these most recent restrictions from Boxing Day to now. And as you know, life has been very difficult throughout the past year, and even particularly this last 7 or 8 weeks. And it has affected, obviously, the pastoral work of the church. But can I just say to each one that we are here for you. We may not be able to come to your home at this present time or meet you in person, but should you require pastoral help or counsel, please feel free to contact us. We would be happy to talk to you, and please do keep that in mind. I'd also ask you to pray. We mentioned last week the presbytery had given prospective dates for a phased return to public worship, and we hope to bring you more details about that next Lord's Day in relation to Bethany, but do continue to pray about that matter, please. And do remember to continue to pray for the sick and also for the bereaved at this time. Quite a number who have been ill or are ill, and others who have been bereaved over the past number of weeks. And we trust that the Lord will draw near and comfort them. Now, before we have the message this evening, we're going to ask Peter to come and bring another message and song.
To the
But once again, thank Peter for being with us tonight and ministering in song. Come to the Saviour. We're going to learn tonight of a woman who came to David. And the picture is of David as the type of Christ, and the woman as the type of the sinner. And like Abigail coming to David, the sinner needs to come to Jesus. And we trust if you are listening on and you don't know the Saviour, that you will come to Jesus Christ. Let's bow briefly in a wee word of prayer before we minister from God's word tonight. Father in heaven, we approach thee in Jesus' name, and we do ask that thy blessing now will attend to thy word, and as it is proclaimed, may it go forth in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit from on high. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The portion of scripture that we read tonight, and indeed the entire chapter of 1 Samuel 25, records one particular incident from the life of David. David at this time had fled from Saul. Saul was jealous of David. He knew in his heart that David had been anointed king and would replace him at some point. He also was jealous of the fact that David had slain Goliath and he had become the song of the women in Israel. And so Saul had tried to kill David, thrusting the javelin at him and plotting against David. And so David, being led of the Lord, had to flee from the palace and he fled to the wilderness, living as a fugitive in the south country. But while David was there, there were men who came to him. While David hid out in the cave of Adullam, there were 400 and then another 200 men who came to David. They were discontent with the reign of Saul. They recognized he had departed from the Lord, and things were not the way they should be within the nation. And they came and they joined themselves and they pledged their loyalty and their allegiance to David. It appears in this chapter that those 600 men with David were in need of food. They were hungry. And so if you read the start of the chapter, which we didn't read for the sake of time, you will discover that David sent some of his young men to a man called Nabal. Nabal was a wealthy farmer living in that locality. He had benefited from David's men, because while David's men were out during the day and at night, they protected Nabal's shepherds and their flocks from the attack of the enemy. When Nabal's shepherds were there on the hills with their flocks, David's men were like a wall to them. They were a ring of protection, and no man dared touch Nabal's flocks or his young men while David's army was there. And so David, feeling that Nabal would return his kindness, he sent to Nabal and requested that he would provide some food for his army of men. Nabal, however, was an evil man. He was also a foolish man. The name Nabal means a fool, and Nabal was a fool, but he was also an evil and a selfish man. He ignored the fact that David had been kind to him and had protected his men, and that he was the great deliverer who had been anointed of God and would one day be king. We know that because Nabal's wife Abigail refers to it. She knew that David would one day be king. Well, Nabal ignored all these things, ignored David's kindness and his help and his protection for his men. He insulted David's young men and he sent them away empty. It's really at that point that Abigail comes in to the story. You see, David was wroth and angry, and he was going to come and deal with Nabal himself, but Abigail heard what had happened, and she enters the scene. She's presented in this passage as not only a beautiful woman, but an intelligent woman. Look at verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was off the house of Caleb. What a tragedy. Nabal had a good ancestry, a man and his forefathers who had followed the Lord and wholly served the Lord. But this man was a fool and an evil man. Grace does not run in our bloodline. But his wife was not only a beautiful woman, but she was a wise woman. And whenever she heard what had taken place, she moved into action. And tonight I want to preach to you upon the actions of Abigail. Because as we consider Abigail's actions in this chapter, we have a wonderful presentation of the message of the gospel. The first thing I want you to note about Abigail is the warning that she heard. The warning that she heard. You see, when David heard of Nabal's answer to his young men and his treatment of them, he was furious. And he determined to go to war. He determined not only to slay Nabal, but all who belonged unto him. And it was this report that came unto Abigail from verse 14 to verse 17. Abigail was warned of the danger. Look at verse 17. Let's just focus on this verse for a few moments. Now therefore know. Now, the young men of Nabal's servants, they were more discerning than Nabal. They were more caring for their own lives and their own master even than he was himself. And they knew they couldn't reason with Nabal. He was the sort of man, he was the boss. You've met them, no doubt. There are men like it today. They're the king of their castle. You cannot tell them anything. You cannot reason with them. Their word is the law. That seems to be the type of man that Nabal was. What he said went. He was above the servants, he certainly wouldn't listen to them. They may even lose their position and their privileges if they tried to reason with them. And so they went to Abigail. They didn't even waste their time speaking to Nabal. No, they came to Abigail. And what was it that they said? They spoke about the danger. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man, there they make the point, a man cannot speak to him, can't be reasoned with. Can I say to the people of God, we should not be such people. This characteristic should not characterize men of God or women of God, that you can't be spoken to, you can't be reasoned with. That in a certain situation, you'll not listen to the opinions of others or the reason that they would make. That's the type of man Nabal was, and it shouldn't characterize a Christian. But they come to Abigail with this report, and you'll notice she heard the warning about danger. Evil is determined. And why was evil determined upon Nabal and his household? Because Nabal had offended David and incurred his wrath. You will know that David in the scripture is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. He's not a perfect type. There's no perfect type of Christ. There are certain traits in the life of David, and they are foreshadowings of Christ. David was the shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd. David slew Goliath, and Jesus slew the Goliath of sin and Satan in the valley of blood or the valley of Elah. David was a sovereign king who reigned over all Israel. And the Lord is David's greater son, the king of Israel, the king of kings. And here's a man, and he's a churlish man, and he's a sinful man. He's a son of Belial, and he offended David. And David's going to unsheath the sword against him. And the sword is going to come upon him, and justly and rightly so, for he had wronged David. He'd sinned against David. The kindness that David had shown him in protecting his men and his flocks, he had turned evil against David, and he had denied David that which he rightfully owed. And because of this man's sin and offense against David, he was going to face wrath and condemnation. He was going to come under wrath and all his household. Do you see that Nabal is a type of the sinner? We might even say he's a type, he reminds us of Adam. Because Adam offended the Lord. Adam sinned against God. And his whole household came under the wrath and curse of God for sin. That's what was determined. David was going to judge the entire household of Nabal for his crime and his sin and his offense against David. And it teaches us that great truth that as in Adam all die, we're sinners in Adam. We sinned in Adam. And because of Adam's sin, God's righteous wrath and judgment came upon humanity. The Bible tells us that he that believeth not in the Son of God is condemned already. John preached, flee from wrath to come. My friend, do you not see that you sinned in Adam? You've offended God in Adam. And you're a sinner yourself. By your own sin, you've brought yourself under the wrath and condemnation of a just and a holy God. And there's danger for you. There's danger for you in your sin. In your sin, the wrath of God will come upon you. And Abigail heard that message, a message of danger. A warning of danger. You'll notice that within this warning, there's not only danger spoken of, but there's a demand. Look at verse 17 again. It says, now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do. Abigail, what are you going to do? David and 400 of his men have left already, and they're all armed with the sword, and they're coming. And you're going to have to do something about it. This is a demand that is personal, and it's pressing, because if Abigail did nothing, then she would perish. And Nabal would perish, and their household would perish. And the challenge is put, know thou therefore, what wilt thou do? And the challenge has to go out to men and women. You're under the wrath and judgment of God. You're condemned already in your sin. What are you going to do? If you remain where you are, you'll be lost. You'll perish forever. The gospel challenge comes out and goes out. What wilt thou do? How wilt thou do? My friend, what a warning this was, and it's a warning that comes to you in the message of the gospel. And it's a warning that you need to hear. There's danger in your sin. The just judgment of God will come upon you. And what are you going to do? The second thing I want you to notice tonight, not only the warning that Abigail heard, but the wisdom that Abigail displayed from verse 18 to verse 31. Abigail resolved to do something. Look at verse 18. Then Abigail made haste What she did with haste. And oh, that's what the sinner needs to do, with haste. They need to get the matter sorted. The matter of their soul. The matter of being under the condemnation of God. And they need to get it sorted with haste. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 200 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and led them on asses. She gathered the food, loaves, mutton, corn, raisins, cakes of figs, wine, and she went to see if she could pacify David. And in coming to meet him, I want you to know, notice what she did. She brought an offering. But I want you to notice that she came to David with a plea. And you'll read that plea in verse 28. She said, I pray thee forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. There's a plea, and it's a personal plea. Do you see it? It's personal. For she said, I pray thee forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. And there's a personal plea that David would be merciful, that David would forgive, that David would pardon. And I tell you, that's what the sinner must do. You must go to David's greater son. You must go to the one that David represents. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Jesus asked the Pharisees. They say unto him, the son of David. You must go to David's greater son. And personally, you must plead to him for forgiveness, that the Lord will have mercy and pardon your transgressions. Do you notice that when she went with him, or went to David and sought forgiveness, she sought forgiveness with reverence. Verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Oh, Nabal mocked, belittled, poured scorn upon David as if he was a nobody and a nothing. Fugitive. But when Abigail lighted off her ass, whenever she came down from the donkey she was journeying on, she bowed herself to the ground and she acknowledged David for who he was. Who was he? She refers to it further down the chapter. And she speaks of him as the one, verse 30. Concerning thee, the Lord, it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler of Israel. Thou wilt be, David, the ruler of Israel. She comes and she bows down to the one who is the sovereign over the nation and who will be king. And my friend, that's how you have to come to Christ. You need to come recognizing that he is Lord of all. You need to bow the knee to the one who is Lord of all. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. He is the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, the world may have despised him and rejected him and nailed him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand, a prince and a savior, the King of all. Friend, if you're going to come and if you're going to find forgiveness, then you're going to have to acknowledge him. You're going to have to bow before him humbly and reverently as the King of all the universe. You'll notice that she sought his forgiveness. She made a plea for it, not only with reverence, but with repentance. In verse 28, she said, "Forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. Forgive the trespass." And she's coming and she's asking David to pardon her for her sin that she's turning away from. Do you know the evidence of the repentance? She brought the gifts of food for David. That's where the offense was caused. And in pleading for forgiveness, she brought that gift. And salvation is not in works. But she brought that gift as a token of the repentance of her household and of her repentance and of turning away from that trespass. It was a trespass in ignorance, but a trespass nonetheless. And when a sinner comes to plea for forgiveness, they do so turning away from their sin, repenting of it, and turning on to the Lord. And she came pleading this forgiveness, not only with reverence and repentance, but in recognition of who David was, the one who would be the king, the appointed ruler over all. Let me say, that is how the sinner must come to Christ. Must come and confess his sin and call upon the Lord and ask for that forgiveness with reverence, recognition and repentance. Have you come to the Lord? Have you made that plea? Have you called upon Him to take away your sin and of mercy? That was her plea, but notice her how promptly she did it. I mentioned in verse 18 that she did it with haste. She did it immediately. Immediately, and listen to this thought. She approached David with a plea for forgiveness the very moment she heard the warning. There are men and women who hear the warning of judgment to come for years and decades, and they never go to Christ and plead for forgiveness. They never go to the Lord and call upon Him. And yet, here is a woman. And the moment she heard that warning, "You're under condemnation. The sword is wet," as we would talk about. "It's ready to fall. It's going to be unsheathed. David's on his way with his man and judgment will be executed." The moment she heard, she went to David. The Bible reminds us and teaches us that it's now is the accepted time for salvation. It's now that the sinner must come to Christ. When Paul preached to Felix, he said, "When I have a convenient season, I call upon thee. Put it off to another time. When I get things right in my life, when I finished my course as a governor or the judge or the ruler, when things are more convenient in my life, then I call upon you. Then I intend to get right with God. Then I'll become a Christian. Then I'll seek the Lord." How many are like him? "When I've experienced the pleasures of the world," the sinner says, "when I'm a little older and I've seen a bit more of the world and experienced a bit more of what it has to offer," the young person says, "when I get to where I want to be in life," the more mature man says, "when I things put in place with my family or in my business, Maybe when I'm a little older and I've less to do, then I'll call upon the Lord. And yet we're reminded, we know not what a day may bring forth. And that convenient season may never come. For the Spirit may stop striving with the soul at any given point in time. Or the Lord could say, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. That's why promptly, immediately, now, you should haste to Christ and call upon Him to forgive your sins. There was the warning that Abigail heard. There was the wisdom that she displayed. But thirdly, tonight, I want you to notice the welcome she received. For there's a picture in verses 32 to 35. Take time to read them again for yourself. And my David's on the warpath. He's a man of war. He's going to execute judgment. And I tell you, friend, the Bible presents the Lord as a willing, ready Savior to pardon and receive you. But He will also execute judgment. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. And one day He will return and He will execute judgment. That's the picture of David. From David. He's coming to execute judgment. And yet, when Abigail makes this plea, she gets off the ass and she calls upon Him. She received a welcome from Him. David's response, he thanked God for sending Abigail and keeping him from slaying the house of Nabal, and there were three things for Abigail. There was pardon, verse 35. So David received her hand, David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened unto thy voice, and I have accepted thy person. There was a pardon. He accepted her person. Forgive the transgression. He accepted her. My friend, when God pardons a sinner, He accepts them. And He accepts them as righteous in His sight. Freely pardoned. Fully forgiven. And therefore the sword of judgment is put away. The sinner does not come under condemnation, but goes up in peace. For where the Lord pardons, there is peace. Verse 35, go up in peace to thine house. The gospel not only brings pardon where we're accepted and forgiven, but it gives us peace with God. For being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We not only have peace with God, with the peace of God in our hearts, being at peace with Him. But then there was not only pardon for Abigail and peace with David for Abigail. There was a position for Abigail. We didn't read the verse 40, but you know, there's a wee lesson here for God's children too. For David put away the sword, he accepted the gift from Abigail, and he returned to his men with the food stuff. And he did not execute judgment on the house of Nabal. Rather, he left Nabal with the Lord. You know, as God's children, at times when we're wronged, we want to take matters into our own hands. And it would be the wrong thing to do. When David left Nabal in the hands of the Lord dealt with Nabal. And you read how that Nabal, when he was feasting, and he was drunken. And his wife told him the things that had taken place. Verse 37, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after the Lord smote Nabal that he died. The Lord dealt with David's enemies. And those that strive against us, we can leave in the Lord's hands. And when Nabal died, David sent on to Abigail. It tells us in verse 40, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him a wife. There was a position for Abigail. She became his bride. You know, when the sinner is pardoned and at peace with God through Christ, the sinner becomes part of the bride of Jesus Christ, the church, his body and his bride. And there's a position for us within the scheme of redemption. We're the bride of Christ. We're in union with him. We belong to him, and it's an indissoluble union. We'll be his bride forever. What a blessing. What a welcome. I commence tonight by referring to Peter's second hymn, exhorting the sinner to come to Jesus. As Abigail, under judgment from David, came to him and found forgiveness and peace with him, so you must come to Christ, where you will find forgiveness, mercy and peace. You will become part of his bride, his people, forever and ever. May God bless his word tonight to all of our hearts. We're going to close by listening to a hymn, Out of Christ Without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wide and stormy sea? We'll listen to this hymn and then I'll close in a word of prayer. close in prayer. Father in heaven, we do fear for those that are out of Christ. Let them not die in their sin. Save the lost associated with Bethany. Save sinners in this town. Call out of the Gentile people a remnant unto thyself. And may God be glorified in the salvation of sinners. We ask this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.